Hey, podcast listener. Are you working so hard you wonder if the money is even worth it? If you're like most CPAs I work with, you have way too much to do, you feel relentless deadline pressure, and worst of all, you feel torn between serving clients and being with family. What if I told you you could work a 40-hour week without losing a dime? I know it sounds impossible, but my Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is designed for CPAs just like you who want to get their lives back. Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind is launching soon. In it, you'll learn how to start getting your time back week by week, make your workload manageable while still bringing in plenty of revenue, what to put in your packages and how to price them, and so much more. Don't leave your future to chance. CPA Mastermind will get you on the sane, profitable path you've been searching for. With unlimited coaching, your success is guaranteed. Go to GeraldineCarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there.
He cared so much about what he had to do and about his role, and he was taking responsibility and he was accountable for what he had to do. He didn't want to let this person go, but he did. That was like the moment when the seas parted and I realized I got a team that I can trust.
Welcome to the Business Strategy for CPAs podcast, where I help overworked CPAs go down to 40 hours and then down to 25 hours without giving up revenue. My name is Geraldine Carter. Today, we are talking about how to get your hours down to almost zero and the hard-won lessons that you have to learn in order to design and build a staff that does all or most of the work for you so that your firm runs without you. Here to talk with me about this is my guest, Scotty Scarano. Scott, welcome to the show.
What's up? How's it going, Geraldine?
It's going great. It's fun to have you on the show after the conversations that we've had.
Oh, it's fun to be on your show. I love your voice on the podcast. It sounds awesome. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. I missed my calling as a host for NPR and All Things Considered.
but you've created your own.
Yes, I've created my own All Things Considered for CPAs. Perfect. So let's talk about your firm. And we purposely stayed out of some details in the green room because I wanted to come in not knowing as much as possible. So for listeners who don't know who you are or what you've built, can you just give them a high level on the accounting practice that you've built, how long it took, where it is, where things are now, and so on?
Yeah, for sure. So Scott Scarano, Scotty OKR Scarano. Some people say Scarano. It's like, you know, potato, potato. OKR is my alter ego. That's my rap name. We can get into that. I started working at my current practice at around 2009, maybe 2010. I remember it was the 2009 tax year, so it was 2010. I was the only employee. It was a very small practice. I'm just going to throw some numbers in there too. So he was doing about 90,000 top line when I started. It was just me and the firm owner. We were doing mostly write-up work for the tax return, bookkeeping, general, you know, delivery for small businesses. And I grew that practice. I'm currently now still the only owner. And I grew it to, at its peak, we had about 12 employees. I purchased it from the owner back in 2015. And at our peak, we had about 12 employees. Now we have, our makeup is five CPAs in the US, actually three CPAs, two EAs in the US, and four in the Philippines. And me currently, as the visionary role, I don't have an active role in any operational work at the firm. Yeah, we still work with the same client base. We still do a lot of the same work. We have maybe about 105 clients that we do monthly work for, and we do their taxes. We have some one-off tax work that we still do, but that's primarily the makeup of the firm. And it provides a pretty hefty profit for me. It's very profitable. And I, like you said, I work close to 0 hours. When I say zero, I say it X-E-R-O, because we use mainly zero at our firm.
Nice plug.
Yeah, I probably spend maybe an hour a week spread out throughout the week on the phone with my management team. Mm-hmm. So we have these 20-minute stand-up meetings that I'll hop in. And in case they need anything from me, they know I don't check my email anymore. I don't go into carbon anymore. So that's how they reach me, is during those stand-up meetings or text or anything. But honestly, they don't ask for much from me at this point. Took a long time to get there, but yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah. And that's what I want to talk about is the, you know, it took me a long time to get there, but where you are now is like a maximum of 1 hour per week,
with your management team and you're out of operations and you're way out of the hustle and grind. So it sounds like, so we're recording now 2024. So we're looking at, it sounds like podcast math is always dangerous, 9 years-ish. How long have you been in this situation where you've been down to just a handful of hours a week?
Yeah. So I would say since 2021 was when that kind of really set into place. There was a lot of shifting in 2020. I was still involved a lot. And I got fully out of sales in 2022.
And when was the moment that you decided you were going to go on this journey of getting yourself out? Or was that more of a progression?
It was when we discovered EOS, which was sort of by accident, I would say about 7 years ago. I think I was a couple of years into owning the practice. I had somebody reach out to me and they had this EOS on their email footer and he was reaching out for his wife's business. And when I found EOS and we started working with him, it was our implementer and we started doing his wife's work. And it was sort of like a serendipitous scenario where we were trading. He was giving us the free EOS implementation and we were doing his wife's bookkeeping and tax work. So it was a great trade. And I learned that, you know, as we were learning about accountability charts and how to build out the firm and the EOS, you know, system, I learned I could be the visionary. I could just sit in one seat and that was that coveted seat that I wanted to get in. I could have said, I am the visionary, but also this, and this. So I identified where I wanted to be and then did everything I could to get there. And that took probably 5 years for me to go from identifying where I wanted to be in the firm and then actually getting there. And then a lot of mess along the way, a lot of mistakes, a lot of issues, and then figuring things out. And then once I got there, I realized, well, maybe I don't even want this anymore. So there's a lot to unpack there.
The existential crisis.
Yes.
I love it. So about 5 years from the moment that you identified, oh, this is possible for me, this is where I want to go, and then getting there, and of course, making all the mistakes along the way, that's basically what is required. You know, if there was a playbook and you wanted a playbook, you would have bought an H&R Block because that's what that is.
Well, I can say that H&R Block is very similar to my franchise that I'm in. So Padgett is a franchise and they gave me a playbook to get to where I got. They just didn't have the playbook like EOS was. So EOS was the next playbook that I needed. So Padgett and H&R Block, they have great systems to run your practice. And that can get you to about, you know, let's say 700,000, 500,000. Those kind of systems and those playbooks will definitely get you to running an operational, a successful practice. But you're still doing everything in that practice. I don't think they have anything to tell you, now this is how you can get out of the roles that you're in and transition you out of that. So they helped me get to running a very large, successful, profitable practice. It just required me for 80 hours a week. That's what I was at the head of everything. And they had no tools or techniques for me to get out of that. So I was, you know, I was just like, I created my own prison at that stage.
That'll resonate with a lot of people. I think they feel like they've inadvertently created a prison of their own making and they didn't know that they were doing it. They didn't know how they got into it. And they just feel stuck in it and trapped in it and they don't know how to get out of it. If they even think they can get out of it. A lot of people, I think, don't even know that it's possible to get out or think that they can get out. And that can feel discouraging, if not demoralizing.
Well, so one thing with technology and with the great systems and with, you know, all of the stuff that I learned up until that point, I created a powerful house for growth and it was just grow, grow, grow. We were getting inbound leads all over the place. I kept hiring and I hit a ceiling. That was the other thing too. So I actually hit a $1.2 million ceiling and I was stuck at $1.2 million for 6 years.
Wait, okay. This is so interesting. Tell me why you think you got stuck at the $1.2 million ceiling.
Me. I was in the way of everything. Everything required me to do. I was still reviewing returns. I was still doing sales. I was still doing some client work. You know, we would take on really big projects and it wasn't team maybe not necessarily qualified for, but man, they're going to pay us 20 grand. So I'll figure out how to do this. And it was just one thing after another. And I just kept getting in the way. So it was sort of like attrition. Every time we'd grow and I felt like we would pass that threshold, then we'd lose a bunch of clients, or I'd lose some people, and then we'd lose clients. And then I'd have to backfill that and find some more people. And it was just like, I was trying to hold everything together. I was the octopus with eight arms, trying to hold everything together, staying at the office all hours. My wife had to come to the office just to visit me and give me food because I wouldn't leave. I didn't know I was in the way. I just thought I was successful. I was like, well, this is what comes with success.
Yeah, totally. Did you get, before we go to the solutions of that, did you get stuck anywhere along the way on the way to 1.2 million? Did you have any other sort of ceilings that you hit?
There were some humps, but it wasn't like a wall that I couldn't get past, or it wasn't like anything that I couldn't break through, but there were definitely humps. You know, as I was rolling along, we were finding new things that propelled growth. And then we just let go of things that didn't work for us anymore. So we just reframed how we were doing certain things, or just changed them altogether. So one example was, we found Xero and it automated so many things we were doing manually. So we were able to pack in a lot more clients in less time. And that was just changing up how we did everything. A lot of our systems changed with Xero because we were automatically categorizing things, cash coding, doing things instead of just the red pen, write up work. Same thing with payroll. After the fact, payroll was something that we did at our firm. You know, our clients would pay their people, and then after the fact, we would go in and get everything filled out. I'm sure our listeners, if they've been doing this long enough, they know we fill in all the payroll taxes and file all those. Then we found Zen Payroll, which is now Gusto, and it fully automated everything. So then now we're able to add more work too. So it's just fitting more work into the time that we were spending. And my team was just growing throughout this process. And I didn't have roles. I just overflowed the work onto everybody that I hired. So we hire somebody else, and it's like, now you take this half of this person's workload and we'll just get some more clients and fill everybody up again. And that's how it was just growing. It was a mess.
Gotcha, gotcha. And that was growing the messy way. And that's kind of what got you to 1.2 million. And then that's where you sort of hit the plateau and you just couldn't break through. And that's where you hung out for 6 years, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
For a frame of reference for listeners, those 6 years, where do they fit in with the finding of the EOS in 2017 and so on?
Yeah, yeah. Probably around 2016 to 2022.
Okay.
So even with EOS, it wasn't saving me from myself.
Gotcha.
I was still getting in the way. Our implementer would get so frustrated with me because I would want to make these sweeping changes or do something different. And just, you know, we started, we can talk about that. I don't even know how much we want to talk about tracking time, but we started tracking time somewhere along the way too, as I was trying to get out of the practice. Mm-hmm. And that we started doing things that we never did in the past. I'm just, you know, or we started using new technology. So it was, I was in my own way. Like I thought I knew everything. just like I see in my kids.
Yes, they love to remind you. Yes.
Just like I see in my kids. I'm getting my own medicine these days.
So what did it take for you to start seeing that you were the impediment?
Yeah, COVID. 2021, around that time, as I really tried to remove myself, we overhired during COVID. So a lot of money came in, PPP, and I'm excited about now, like, early COVID, I was stuck in Mexico, so I wasn't going back to the office. And then I said, you guys don't even have to go back to the office. Everybody can work from home. And they didn't need me. I went back home to the US to an empty office. We sold our office. Now we're fully remote. It's not even hybrid, fully remote. And I am phased out of almost everything. We've got somebody reviewing. We hired new CPAs, fully remote as well. So now we have a large dispersed team. Everybody's doing everything they should be, and we're growing more too. And I'm feeling guilty. Like, everybody's doing all this work and I'm not necessarily doing anything and I'm making money on it. So I started feeling guilty, but I also was having, I was still running into situations where I was looking at stuff too. So because I felt guilty, I felt like I needed to be doing things actively. So I would go into my email and then check on what other this person was doing. And then slowly I realized, I'm doing about overworking because I'm doing work that people already did, or I'm fixing things and I'm changing things. And then I realized that I had like the light bulb moment, and it was just like, I don't trust anybody.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
You didn't trust that the work wouldn't happen right without you making sure you had your eyes on it.
Yeah. or I didn't trust that the prices would be right, so I would have to review that. Everything everybody was doing, I felt like I needed to do it because I was the best at it. I would do it better than everybody. And most of the time, I think that's true for an owner. It was true to a degree,
yeah.
But it was bullshit. It really wasn't true, because the only way somebody's going to get as good as you is if they have the ability to learn and the ability to make mistakes. And that's when I realized that I didn't trust anybody. It was my actions. My actions looked like I didn't trust anybody. I said I trusted all of them and I felt like I did, but my actions showed that I actually didn't.
Yes.
So I had to change my actions and I had to actually let go. And that's what they call an EOS, letting go of the vine. And you know, you could say that to somebody 100 times, but it isn't until they actually realize what that means, that if you let go and you realize you're not going to fall on that cliff, you let go and you're still standing on solid ground and everything's fine. I felt like if I let go, I would fall into the abyss. You know, they would run on without me. They would take over the firm, or they would take all the clients and leave. And it was just like, you know, all the fears, all the negative self-talk too. It was when I wasn't around the team that I felt like all the bad things were happening behind my back. And now I got to hop in and fix everything.
Yeah, I better put my hands in just to make sure that I keep my finger on the pulse, keep an eye on things.
Yeah, I know. Because what's going to happen when everybody leaves? You know, but clients aren't really reaching out to me. Clients aren't upset about anything. And if they were, it was the clients that would be upset about everything anyway. You know, it doesn't matter what they were. And so I started to become a better owner, a better leader. I don't like saying the word leader, but I became much better owner. And I was able to lead by example, let's say, with my team. Because then as I started to shift my mindset, they all appreciated me not being around. They all appreciated it so much. And they enjoyed their jobs. They loved their jobs now. Like, they still liked their jobs before, but I just made it harder for them.
Yeah, the owner is in the way. The owner shows up and makes a mess of everything. Everything was fine. And the staff don't want to tell the owner to beat it. Get out of here. We got this covered.
Yeah, but they could tell me that. They had permission to tell me that. I'm not that bad of a person. Like, so they would tell me to beat it, and then I'd get defensive and say, but I would make people feel bad. It was just not a good situation. So we ran into a scenario, and it's probably, I'm using 2022 because that seemed like a pivotal year. We had to let 2 people go, and it wasn't the 2 people we hired. So we hired 2 new CPAs. We were losing money at one point. I wasn't doing any work, but I was like, this is a profitable business. How could we be losing money? And we were over capacity. So we had people that spilled over from the in-office environment. We had a front office person, front desk person. And I tried to fill administrative role. I tried to fill this role remotely, and it just didn't work. At a certain point, we realized, wait, that was an archetype. We needed that because when you walked in the door, you saw that person. And we needed somebody manning the front desk, or else it looked like an empty office. Well, now we don't have an office. The office is permanently empty. We don't need that role anymore. So seats started to change too. And we restructured the firm. We also had another person that we kept trying to fit somewhere, and he just didn't fit. And he worked for me, and he quit and left, and he came back. And it was just like a person that was friends with us, but wasn't necessarily the best employee. So it was my management team that let these 2 people go. And that's when I realized what trust is. And I realized how I could actively step out of the way. It was a moment when my operations manager, my COO, or whatever you want to call it, my integrator, he said he was stressing so much about it that he was throwing up. And I felt so much empathy for him because I know that feeling. And I've felt that so many times, but it was because he cared so much about what he had to do and about his role. And he was taking responsibility and he was accountable for what he had to do. He didn't want to let this person go, but he did. That was like the moment when the seas parted and I realized I got a team that I can trust and I do trust them. And now my actions need to reflect that. Long and the short of it, once we let those 2 people go, we're super profitable and we've been smooth sailing since that moment.
Very cool. I'm wondering about the piece about trust and, you know, having the moment where, and the seas part, and what it was like for you to go on that journey of like working on increasing your trust. And if that just happened by circumstance, or if you were getting any sort of outside help on like, how do I get better at trusting people if I'm not automatically prone to it?
our listeners may not know that I have a podcast too. So I have been learning a lot since I started doing that podcast. It was Sons of CPAs back when you were on an episode. It's Accounting High now. They may have heard of Accounting High. I learned so much through talking to other people that I was able to reflect back on what I was doing. So this is where the real breakthrough started to come in. When I started hearing other people say certain things and I'm like, well, wait, that's very similar to my situation. So it wasn't me that figured this stuff out. I just was in a fortunate position that I had a lot of free time and I started that podcast. And the more I talked, the more I learned. And the more people I had on, the more I learned. And so it was just me reflecting back on things that were happening and then regurgitating them out to other people that I was like, oh, wow, actually, I don't trust them. So those were some of the moments too. And I think this is a great tip for anybody is start a podcast. Talk to your clients. Invite some of your clients on and just start small. Do something just to start like getting out of your own head too. It may not be for any other purpose. You could, I mean, it's a great lead generator and all those other things, but for anything, it's like therapy in some ways. That was really powerful, starting that and starting to do that, because I grew up pretty fast too.
Okay, so part of getting to the sunbeams coming through the clouds and the seas parting, part of that journey was podcasts, talking to people, having more conversations, getting out of your head, reflecting back, seeing yourself in similar situations. Once you had that moment, and that sounds like a couple of years ago, what has been different since?
I think that moment was when I fully was able to step out of my own way. So I was out of their way for the most part, but I wasn't out of my own way. And that's what made things very hard. And that's where the lack of trust would creep in, because it was the negative self-talk. So once I got out of my own way, I don't think I've gotten in my own way when it comes to the practice since then. Now, I may have gotten in my own way in plenty of other aspects of my life and in the podcast and Accounting High and all that stuff, but that has nothing to do with the firm. And so the firm was me fully stepping away for it to run better. And we've grown and it's seen much more improvement, sustainability without me, because I was the problem. Like Taylor Swift says,
"Hi, I'm the problem."
Yes, very much so. I was also the reason why we grew so much. I was also the reason for all the success of the firm too. So I wasn't just the problem. I was also like, they also attribute a lot of the things that we're doing and a lot of the things that they appreciate about their jobs was the systems that I implemented and the things that I did. And we've grown to this point and we have the ability to be as flexible as we are because of that. So I have to realize, yes, I was the problem, but also I have to appreciate and be proud of the things that I did too for it to work. Because if I was just a problem, then I was ready to sell my firm and just fully get out of the way because and I was ashamed of everything, all the bad things I did and all the mistakes that I made. So I'm not, you know, I don't feel ashamed of anything I did. It was just a mistake that I didn't know. I was more empathetic to my old self than anything else.
Yeah. It's like, how can you be proud of your failures and your mistakes?
Yeah. I mean, I can be proud of them because I learned from them. There were lessons along the way.
Yeah. It's what got you to where you are.
For sure.
So I want to talk about this piece of, you know, now what? Because this is a conversation that's happening in down to 25 hours in my mastermind of who do I have to become to be the person, the leader that brings my work hours down to 25 and then down to 15 hours? And how do I do that without getting in my own way? What do I need to learn? How do I need to change how I lead my staff or who I have in terms of seats on the bus, et cetera? And also, how do I deal with the discomfort that I am going to face when I start working less than 40 or 25 or 20 hours a week? Because what happens is your brain just goes all squirrely. It feels so uncomfortable. It's like something must be wrong. Something surely has gone wrong. I'm supposed to be in the office. I need to be working all the time. I better insert myself. When's the other shoe going to drop? Was this just a fluke? And what do I do with all this free time? I've never known what it's like to have this free time. And I don't know how to be calm with all this free time because I'm so used to hustling and grinding. What was that like for you to have the free time? Did you have to kind of stare down that stuff?
It was exhilarating and terrifying. I easily fill my time with fun stuff now. It felt almost effortless in the beginning because I just kind of like eased into this podcast, or I dove in head first, let's say. I didn't ease in. I went straight into it, and I was spending about as much time doing that, and I didn't need to be. This is where I was getting in my own way. So then I pivoted that to doing raps, and I learned how to rap like at 38. You know, I started rapping because I knew I was turning 40 around the corner. So because I'm editing and messing with audio and I'm working with mics, I'm like, well, maybe finally I could rap. So my first rap that I wrote, it took me 6 months. It was CP Aliens. So I took Outkast's AT Aliens, and I took everything I know, because you have to rap about what you know. So, I mean, and I had books on how to rap, and I was learning everything. And still, this is a parody that I'm kind of modeling off of Outkast song. And I wrote it, and then I was on FreshBooks Partner Advisor Council, and I performed it at the council for a bunch of, it was like 30 people. And that changed everything for me, because that's what I wanted to do next. And I'm like, now I want to be on stage. Now I want to start rapping. So I start doing more raps, and then I expensifies taking 100 accountants to Italy. So, well, I'm going to write a rap for them. I'm going to invite the founder onto the podcast, write a rap and send it to them, and they're going to invite me to Italy. And they did, and that happened. And then in Italy, I meet Joe Woodard, who's Scaling New Heights, and he says to me, why don't we have you rap at Scaling New Heights? So I did. I wrote a rap, and within a couple weeks, I wrote it, performed it at Scaling New Heights. That's where we talked a lot last year. We met there. And so, and I have been nonstop just working on raps all year. 2023 was just rap performance. I performed at Botkeeper's event. I performed at Randy Crabtree's Bridging the Gap. And so I've been busy. I've been very busy with that. I spend maybe, you know, 40 hours on every rap that I do. And it's just, you know, it's a lot of work and a lot of effort. It left me feeling still like depressed or sad, because you get those highs from doing these things, and then it's quiet. So navigating that was a bit of a challenge, but I dove in head first. There's only one way to go into the pool, and I dive in. And from there, I want to do more fun stuff. So we start doing a tournament, and that's what's going on. Like as we speak, as we're talking, this is the second year of the Accountant Bracket Challenge. So we do something like we call it the ABC Accountant Bracket Challenge. And it's sort of like the March Madness. In the beginning, we're calling it March Aptness. We still kind of are. And that is now my new tax season. So it happens during tax season, and I'm spending maybe 80 hours a week again just on this. So it's not, nothing's really going to, I just want to warn listeners or anybody that's a real hustler like me, like that is working really hard, and maybe they feel that they're getting in the way at their firm. If they were to have all this extra free time, just beware, you're going to probably end up doing something else and spending that much time doing that. So it's a word of warning, because I went through this portal, and now I'm on the other side of it, and I'm a rapper now. I'm OK Rapper. OKR is my rap name. And I'm also running these tournaments. I don't think there's any scenario that I can see in my life that I go back to running a practice and doing taxes too. And I didn't mind doing taxes. I liked doing them, and I liked doing the work, but I got out of it. And now I don't think I can get back in it, because it's just like, oh, wow, that's boring compared to performing, you know?
Yeah. It's like your newfound sort of hobbies or passion projects are just, they become so fulfilling, and you want to spend more time doing the things that you love without any sort of pressure to return work to staff or clients or any of that. It's like, it's this level of freedom.
Yeah, but it's not making any money.
Well, but you don't need it to.
Right, exactly. Yeah, because I'm making plenty of money at the firm. And that's the other thing too, is I feel worthless because I'm not earning.
Yeah.
So I'm doing all of these things. And I don't think that's a real feeling. It's just like what I'm expressing, because this is what I felt back in December. Mm-hmm. Like after all the performances, after all the, you know, after the lights go out and you got to clean up the stadium, you know, tournament's over, the wraps are over. And I'm sitting here like, yeah, but I didn't make any money, and now I feel worthless again. That's not a good feeling, and it's not a good way to be, but that was like sort of where my head was at. Yeah, navigating this journey has been a little bit difficult, but then I went on a retreat in January and I did ayahuasca.
Wait, hold on. I just got to pause you for half a second, because I have an email that goes out to my list a couple times a year that reminds people that success in your business never fills a self-worth bucket. And I think a lot of people get stuck when they start succeeding their way out of their business because they've been using their business success as a source for inside self-worth.
Mm.
Except that doesn't fill this, but they keep trying to go back to the well until they learn that that will never fill this and you've got to source it yourself.
I love that. And I found that. I found that in January. So we're recording this in March and I went to Costa Rica in January. I signed up for a retreat. So I was depressed in December. I went to Costa Rica in January, an ayahuasca retreat. So for anybody who has or hasn't heard of ayahuasca, it's a brew from a vine and a leaf and deep in the Amazon and Brazil and other places. And they brew it for about 10 days. It's like a molasses drink. And I can't really go into too far into what that did and the mystical capabilities of it. But let's just say that I came back renewed, brand new, like I feel whole again. And it's because I have that self-worth. I don't feel like I'm lacking in any areas. And that's what I was trying to fill last year with the performing and doing it all and filling my time and everything was I was trying to fill this empty hole that I was also trying to fill when I was growing my firm. It was the same thing. It's just success after success after success. And then you have to match that and beat that. And it's because I was trying to fill something that that was lacking in me.
Yeah. And you repeat that and repeat it and repeat it until you finally realize like, oh, that doesn't work. That isn't how that works. I'm so glad you shared that because I think it's so prevalent and so common for people and such a huge impediment for so many business owners, entrepreneurs, achiever, go-getter types who, you know, are on this journey and letting go of the business and not having it be something that defines you, I think can be really scary for people. I think most people face it at retirement where all of a sudden they're just like, they turn 65 and they just have to face it. They don't have much of a choice. They have a little bit of a choice. But as business owners, you can potentially face it a lot younger.
So something I did in 2021 that I don't think I mentioned too was I started working on myself more too. And I started fixing my habits. And that's what sort of led to that aha moment as well. I joined a program called, it was called Optimize. Now it's Heroic. And I started working on my sleep and my eating and my moving and all the things like that keep, you know, I was chained to my desk almost every day. So I was sitting a lot and I always heard sitting was bad for you. So I started moving a lot more. My commute was now walking out the front door, walking around my neighborhood and then coming in the back door. And I started tracking habits and I started really focusing on that and focusing on, you know, it wasn't that I was focusing on my mental health, but it was improving my mental health. And so all of those little things kind of built up to me being able to have that clarity. Sleep gave me the clarity to get that aha moment. So I can attribute a lot of the core foundational habits that I spent all of 2021 working on that led me to those moments in 2022 as well. And so anybody can do that at any time. You know, you could still be fully busy in your firm, but if you start paying more attention to what you're eating, to how much you're sleeping, and to, you know, just trying to create better habits, less screen time or less social media time, less time. And all this is outside of work. None of this really has anything to do with the practice, but it will help you become a better person and a better leader for others.
I think the tendency is to think that the solutions are all about tactics. And the tactics are important, like who you hire and getting the right seat in the bus and getting your prices right and, you know, narrowing or specializing or niching and getting the sort of getting out of the all over the mapness. But so much of it is in the clarity of thinking and the mindset work and the getting out of your own way and whatever that looks like for the individual. So before we wrap up here, I'm thinking about what would be most useful for listeners to hear at a kind of high level as you reflect back on the sort of 7 or 9 year journey of getting yourself from working 70 hours down to basically working an hour or less. What are the things that you most want to leave listeners with?
Work on yourself, get out of your own way, I think is the key for anybody because all of the other stuff is different. Everybody's situation is different. Nobody's in the same situation I was in. So you can't do exactly what I did anyway, because it may not work. You know, I was fortunate enough that I have people working for me for, you know, my operations manager has been with me over 10 years. So I had a lot of people that stuck with me through all the bad times, all the unfortunate situations, but we burned through a lot of people over time. you know, people would leave for different reasons. Some people left and came back, but my team now is a core, like the five people in the US have been with me all for over 5 years. You know, they've been with me for the longest and they're all the client facing people. My team in the Philippines that's been growing is, you know, it's a miracle that we figured that out. And I didn't really talk about that much, but you know, all of these things kind of happened because I was out of the way and I was open to doing things that worked, you know, trying things that worked and having the flexibility. All of that was because I was right. You know, I had the right mindset and I was better. I didn't have this mental clarity back in 2019, 2020, before I started doing this. So I didn't know what I was in the way. I had no idea. I just kept getting in my own way everywhere all along the way. It wasn't until I had that clear vision of who I was and I felt, you know, it was just like sleep. I think that's the biggest thing is get more sleep. I think I didn't think I needed sleep. I thought I'd sleep when I'm dead.
Oh my God. Sleep is the number one thing if you need a clear brain. It's so wild to short ourselves on the most essential thing for our own clarity. So from the man who works less than an hour a week, take it from him.
I sleep more than an hour a week for sure now then.
Did I say sleep?
No, but I said sleep. I'm like, that. I used to sleep an hour in a week and I worked the rest.
And now you sleep and just work the one.
Mm-hmm.
So take it from the man who works less than an hour a week. Work on yourself. Get out of your own way. Scotty Sgarano, it's been such a pleasure. Thank you for coming on the Business Strategy for CPAs podcast.
Dope. Thanks for having me on.
Hi again. Would you rather spend your weekends outside playing or at your desk? In Down to 40 Hours CPA Mastermind, we put an end to overworking while maintaining revenue. Go to GeraldineCarter.com to learn more. Dates, times, pricing, it's all there.